Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into something really significant that's shaking up the online world. The EU's Digital Services Act, the DSA. If you're doing business online, or honestly, even just using the internet, this is something you'll want to understand. It impacts pretty much everyone.
It really does. This isn't just some abstract piece of EU regulation. The DSA is actively reshaping the online environment. And today, yeah, we'll break down what it actually is, who it affects, and crucially, what steps businesses need to be thinking about for compliance.
Right. We want to cut through some of the jargon and give you a clear, practical overview. The big goal here, ultimately, is making the online world safer, fairer. So let's just jump right in. What is the Digital Services Act, fundamentally?
Okay. So at its heart, the DSA is a set of EU-wide rules for what they call online intermediaries and platforms. Basically, the services that connect us online to information, to other people, to products.
Got it.
And it has three main aims. First, protect the digital space from illegal content spreading around. Second, protect users' fundamental rights, things like privacy, free speech, freedom of choice online. And third, create a more level playing field for businesses operating online in the EU.
And I keep hearing it described as, well, a really big deal globally, like potentially setting a new international standard.
That's definitely the ambition. It's being called, you know, one of the most significant regulations in this area worldwide. And a key feature is that it's not one size fits all. It has what they call asymmetrical rules.
Asymmetrical.
Meaning stricter obligations for the bigger players, specifically very large online platforms, or VLOPs, and very large online search engines, VLSEs. These are the ones with 45 million or more monthly active users in the EU.
Ah, okay. So the Googles, the Facebooks, the Amazons of the world face tougher rules because their impact is bigger. Makes sense.
Exactly. It reflects their societal influence. And it's worth noting, it doesn't just throw out everything that came before. It actually builds on the old e-commerce directive, keeping those liability exemption rules.
Right, the safe harbor type things.
Sort of, yeah. It provides that baseline protection for intermediaries. And it also works alongside other big regulations, especially GDPR. It complements GDPR, particularly when it comes to how personal data is used for, say, online ads.
Okay, so it's evolving the rules, not totally rewriting them. And a big part of this is streamlining things across the EU, right? Getting rid of lots of different national rules.
Precisely. Before the DSA, you had this patchwork of national regulations, which was, frankly, a headache for businesses operating across borders. The DSA aims for a single, harmonized set of rules for the entire EU internal market. Much clearer, hopefully.
Okay. Now, you mentioned illegal content. That sounds straightforward, but what does it actually cover in the DSA context?
It's defined quite broadly. The idea is to reflect what's already illegal offline under EU or national laws. So think illegal hate speech, terrorist content, selling counterfeit goods, child sexual abuse material.
Right. Standard illegal stuff.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's important. It generally doesn't include things like, say, an eyewitness video of a crime being shared if the act of recording and sharing itself isn't illegal. The focus is on the content being inherently unlawful.
That's a useful distinction. It's about the content, not necessarily the act of posting it, unless that act is also illegal.
Okay. And who does this apply to? Just companies based in the EU?
No, definitely not. That's key. It applies to providers of intermediary services offering services in the EU, regardless of where they're established.
So location doesn't matter as much as who you're serving.
Exactly. If you have a substantial connection to the EU, you're covered. That could mean having an office there, sure, but it could also just mean having a significant number of users in the EU or actively targeting activities towards the EU.
How would they judge things like using an EU language or currency on your site, offering shipping to the EU, running ad campaigns aimed at EU users, having your app in EU app stores? Things like that show you're deliberately engaging with the EU market.
Okay, so the reach is potentially very wide. You mentioned intermediary services again. Can we break down what types of services fall under that umbrella?
Sure. The DSA basically groups them into three main types. First is mere conduit. These are the basic pipes of the internet. Think internet exchange points, your Wi-Fi hotspot provider, VPNs, DNS services. They just transmit data.
Okay. The infrastructure layer.
Right. Then there's caching services. These temporarily store data to make things faster, like content delivery networks, CDNs, or reverse proxies.
Got it.
And the third and broadest category is hosting services. This covers a huge range, cloud computing, web hosting, and importantly, online platforms. That includes social networks, online marketplaces, app stores, content sharing sites. basically anywhere users can store or share information publicly.
That really covers most of the online services people use daily. So what are some of the basic obligations that apply to all these different types of intermediaries?
Well, a few key things. They all need to set up a single point of contact for users, making it easier for people to get in touch. And if they're based outside the EU but serve EU users, they have to designate a legal representative within the EU.
So there's always someone accountable within the EU's jurisdiction.
Exactly. And as we said, the rules are meant to be fully harmonized across the single market.
Yeah.
So consistency is the goal.
Okay, so it's clear this isn't just about the household names. It hits a wide range of online businesses. Can we talk more specifically about the types of businesses most affected?
Absolutely. Like we said, if your business connects users with each other, with information, with products, you're probably in scope. Obvious examples are the big online marketplaces, you know, Amazon Store, Alibaba, AliExpress, social networks, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok X, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Snapchat, content sharing platforms like YouTube, app stores, Apple's App Store, Google Play, even online travel and accommodation platforms like Booking.com.
That's a broad sweep.
It is. And then, of course, you have those designated VLOPs and VLSs we mentioned earlier, the ones with over 45 million monthly EU users. That list includes most of the names I just mentioned, plus others like Google Maps, Google Shopping, Wikipedia, Zalando. And for search engines, it's Bing and Google Search currently.
That list really highlights the scale we're talking about with VLOPs and VLOSs.
Definitely. And they face the toughest rules. But it's crucial to remember it goes beyond them. Regular hosting services, cloud providers, web hosting, you're covered too. Even the underlying infrastructure providers like ISPs and domain name registrars have obligations.
So it cascades down. Is there any relief for smaller players?
Yes, that's important. The DSA does exempt small and micro enterprises from some of the more burdensome obligations, recognizing they don't have the same resources or impact as the giants. The main focus for the really stringent stuff is definitely on the VLOPs and VLOS.
Okay. And you mentioned marketplaces have specific extra duties.
Yes. Online marketplaces have special obligations focused on combating illegal products and services being sold on their platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We can probably dig into that a bit more later.
Okay. Sounds good. So let's say you run one of these services. What do you actually need to do? What are the practical compliance measures businesses should be putting in place?
Right. Let's break that down. There are general obligations for pretty much all platforms. First, they need easy ways for users to report illegal content. Simple, accessible reporting tools.
Makes sense. What else?
Cooperation with authorities is key, especially on criminal matters like child abuse material. They also need systems to deal with reports from so-called trusted flaggers.
Trusted flaggers. Who are they?
These are entities, maybe NGOs or specialist bodies, recognized for their expertise in spotting specific types of illegal content, like hate speech or terrorist propaganda. Platforms need to prioritize and process their reports efficiently.
Interesting. So leveraging external expertise, what about transparency?
Huge focus. Platforms need to be clear about ads. Why are you, the user, seeing this ad? Who paid for it? That information needs to be available.
Ah, the ad transparency push.
Exactly. Also, if they take down content or suspend an account, they have to explain why. And users need ways to challenge these decisions, maybe an internal complaint system or going to an out-of-court dispute body or even contacting their national regulator.
So more due process for users.
Yes. And no more dark patterns, those sneaky interface designs that trick you into doing things you didn't intend to. Those are banned.
Good. I think everyone hates those.
Right. Terms and conditions also need to be clear, easy to understand. And if minors might use the service, the TNCs have to be suitable for them. Plus, platforms need to explain the main factors that drive their recommendation systems, you know, why you're seeing certain videos or posts. And finally, establish points of contact for authorities, too.
Okay, that's a solid list of baseline requirements. Now, what about the extra layer for the big guys, the VLOPs and VLSCs?
Right. They have all those obligations, plus quite a bit more because of their scale and potential impact. A major one is identifying and mitigating systemic risks.
Systemic risks? Like what?
Things like risks to fundamental rights, the spread of illegal content on a massive scale, risks to public security, election interference, gender-based violence, public health crises protecting minors, even risks to mental and physical well-being. They have to actively assess and address these broader societal risks stemming from their platforms.
That's a significant responsibility.
It is. They also have to publish detailed transparency reports every 6 months on their content moderation efforts and get independently audited every year. They need dedicated points of contact, report criminal offenses they become aware of, and maintain a public library of all ads shown on their platform.
A public ad library? Wow.
Yeah. And they need to give vetted researchers access to platform data to help study those systemic risks. Crucially, they also have to offer users at least one recommendation system option that isn't based on profiling.
So an option to escape the algorithm bubble, potentially.
Kinda, yeah. More user choice. They also need to do specific risk assessments on things like disinformation, maintain that public ad repository, and implement robust measures to protect minors redesigning systems for safety, no targeted ads based on profiling kids, special risk assessments for child well-being.
It sounds incredibly comprehensive for those large platforms.
It really is.
Yeah.
And there are specific things around crisis response. Think about situations like the war in Ukraine and online manipulation. They need mechanisms for that. Mm. And for elections, there are detailed guidelines on reinforcing internal processes, tackling generative AI risks, cooperating with authorities, and assessing effectiveness afterwards. Plus, they have to feed data about their moderation decisions into a central EU database, the DSA Transparency Database.
Okay, a very tight leash on the biggest players. Now back to the online marketplaces. What were those specific obligations you mentioned?
Right. For marketplaces, it's very focused on tackling illegal goods and services. They have a know-your-business customer obligation, basically. They need to make reasonable efforts to verify the identity information provided by sellers using their platform.
So making it harder for shady sellers to hide.
Exactly. They also need to design their interface so users can clearly identify who the actual seller is. If they find out a user bought something illegal, they have to inform that user, tell them who the seller was, if possible, and explain any options for redress.
So more traceability and consumer protection on marketplaces. Okay, this is a lot to take in. What's the timeline? When did this all kick in?
It's been phased. For the VLOPs and VLSEs, the main rules started applying back on August 25th, 2023. That was 4 months after they were officially designated.
Okay, so they're already operating under these rules.
Yes. For everyone else, the smaller platforms, hosting services, etc., the full rules came into force on February 17th, 2024.
So pretty recently for most businesses, are there future deadlines to watch out for?
There are. For instance, the detailed harmonized transparency reports platforms need to start collecting data for those by July 1st, 2025, with the first reports due in early 2026. And the new requirements for submitting those statements of reasons to the DSA Transparency Database also kick in on July 1st, 2025.
Okay, so compliance is an ongoing process. What happens if businesses don't comply? What are the teeth behind this legislation?
The enforcement is split. The European Commission directly supervises the VLOAPs and VLOCs. For everyone else, it's handled by national authorities called Digital Services Coordinators, or DSCs, in each EU member state.
And do they have real power?
Oh, yes. The Commission, for example, can request information, conduct interviews, even do on-site inspections. And the penalties for non-compliance or serious fines can go up to 6% of a company's global annual turnover.
6% of global turnover? That's huge.
It is. And remember, for gatekeepers under the Related Digital Markets Act, DMA, fines can be even higher. There can also be periodic penalties for ongoing non-compliance. And in really extreme cases, like persistent, serious violations involving criminal activity that threatens lives or safety, they could even temporarily suspend the service as a last resort.
Okay, so the message is, take this seriously. Given all that, what are the immediate next steps businesses should be thinking about?
First step is always awareness and assessment. Figure out if and how the DSA applies to your specific service. Are you a hosting provider, a platform, maybe even a VLOP?
Right. Categorize yourself.
Exactly. Then review the specific obligations for your category. Do you need a legal representative? Are your reporting mechanisms adequate? How transparent are your ads and recommendations? Do your TNCs need updating? It's a gap analysis, really.
And keep an eye on official guidance.
Absolutely. The European Commission is publishing guidance documents, toolkits like the ones on election integrity or protecting minors. Staying informed about those is vital. Also, looking at relevant voluntary codes of conduct, like the ones on disinformation or hate speech, can be helpful. Adhering to those might even count as a risk mitigation measure under the DSA.
So it's about understanding your obligations, doing a gap analysis, implementing changes, and staying informed.
Pretty much sums it up. It requires proactive engagement.
This has been incredibly helpful in breaking down a complex topic. So to quickly recap, the DSA is this major EU regulation aiming for a safer, fairer online space. It applies broadly to online intermediaries, but with much stricter rules for the very large platforms and search engines. Compliance involves transparency, user rights, tackling illegal content, and for the big players, addressing systemic risks.
Exactly. It's a fundamental shift, impacting everything from content moderation to ad transparency to platform design, especially concerning minors.
And as you said, this deep dive gives the foundation, but businesses really need to look at the specifics for their own situation.
Absolutely. The devil is always in the details, and the details vary depending on what kind of service you provide and how large you are.
So let's leave our listeners with a final thought. As these regulations bed in, how do you think they'll ultimately reshape our online lives? Not just for businesses, but for us as users. It really forces us to think about that balance, doesn't it? Between safety, free expression, and innovation online.
It certainly does. It's probably one of the biggest questions for the future of the digital world.
Definitely something to keep thinking about. Thanks for walking us through the DSA today.
My pleasure.